I wanna be ready to meet him in the glory.
To meet him, you must be prepared. You must have obeyed the gospel. You must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. Believing up that, you must repent of your sins, confess him to be the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then he will add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And then the Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Those who are blessed to die in the Lord, to die in the Lord is to die in his body, to die in his body is to die in his church. I would encourage everyone before you die to believe the Bible is right. If you believe the Bible is right, then you'll follow those instructions of those scriptures. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Before you die, he's warning us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, and ye in a straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many will go that direction. But then he says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life, and few there be that find it. We're very thankful this morning to be a preacher of the cross, to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is good news to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him not shall not, but should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's why we're here this morning. I hope you came to be saved. How many of you want to be saved? If you want to be saved, you're in the right place. We got the right book. We have the right Savior. And if you're in the right use of your mind, you obey him before you die. Amen. Amen. So we're grateful to have all those who are visiting with us who may not be members of the Church of Christ. Now we are live streaming live to the world. We also want to say to the listening audience out there, whether you be members of the Church of Christ or not members of the Church of Christ, we believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And we pray you'll pay attention to the things that we're teaching. Even as we live stream our worship, we're teaching you the New Testament pattern of worship. As the Christian worshiped in the New Testament, they did it by singing. They did not have the help of mechanical instruments and music. They sung. The whole church was the choir. There's no choir here. Everyone is involved in worship. Worship is independent. It's a relationship between you and God. So no one can sing for you. No one can pray for you. You need to pray for yourself. They can pray for you, but in worship is you and God in a relationship. And when you take communion, no one can commune for you. You must be in relationship and fellowship with him, walking in the light as he's in the light, that fellowship maintained through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And then we'll preach today from the word of God. Amen. And you've seen the plate go around once. We don't tithe in the Church of Christ. Some may teach that, but we don't teach that here. We give, according to 2 Corinthians. As we prosper, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. So if you're a first-time listening audience, or if you're a first-time visiting with us, we want you to know that we believe that the New Testament pattern and what we must follow, that's why you don't see us beatboxing, bass mic, and any of those things, because we can't find none of that in New Testament worship. Amen. Amen. So we're not here to entertain. Or to make you feel good. We're trying to get to heaven. And the Bible says in James 1:21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Amen. Amen. So therefore we come in here and we do things decent and in order. Decently in order in respect to the judge. For God is a spirit. God is the audience here this morning. And we must, as you would do when you went in Judge Judy court. You wouldn't go in there with your pants down, hat on, shades on. Amen. You wouldn't be flopping around, running up and down the floor and beatboxing in no microphone. You'll go in there in respect and reverence. Because the judge is in the audience. Amen. And that's where we're at today. We're in reverence to God. And God is the audience, and this is to him, not for us. It's for him that we offer up this worship service to him. For God is worthy. Not only is he worthy, his son is worthy. Gave his life on Calvary's hill. So we're thankful to have all of you here today. We're continuing our study of the cup. series I call The Cup. And we launched this series from Jesus' experience in the garden, where Jesus knew he would have to go through the suffering of all that was before him up to the cross, from the beating to the wearing of the crown of thorns, and even to the time on the cross for 6 hours, suffering with nails in his hands and in his feet. And in the garden, he asked God the Father, let this cup pass three times. And he told him, not my will, but your will be done. And for that, we've launched this thought of operating within the will of God. In our lives, we will have to deal with suffering, and that suffering must be according and will be according to God's will. And we can't live within our own will to please God. We must live within the will of God. God's will is not that we perish. God's will is that we all come to repentance. That's his will. But his will is that we live within his will. And we take what comes with life. And what comes with life is suffering. But if any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian. And we looked at that. And Jesus, after praying, God sent an angel to him. But Jesus told him his spirit was willing, but the flesh was in resistance to the pain that was before him. And I talked about how in our lives, because we're in the flesh, we don't welcome pain. But as Christians, we must understand that we got to drink the cup as God brings it to us. And God allows us to go through those changes, those difficult trials and pains of life. We understand God is in control of life. We looked at not only his Jesus suffering cup, but we looked at Elijah's cup, who ran from Jezebel. We looked at the Apostle Paul cup, and he asked three times as well. He had a thorn in the flesh. We looked at that one. This whole series is on the suffering Savior, the suffering Elijah, the suffering Job that came after Paul. We looked at Job's suffering, Job's cup last week. And Job, even though he knew nothing about what was going on, Job kept and stayed within the will of God. And so we today, as I close this series, the Christian's cup. The Christian's cup. 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses number 11. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability of God given to God.
And all things may be glorified to Jesus Christ.
So as we speak today, we speak that God may get glorified. And then Paul said, and Peter says next in verse number 12, he said, beloved, now think
it not strange.
Think it not strange.
Concerning the fiery trial.
Do not think it strange when we go through fiery trials.
As though some strange thing happened unto you.
That will try you. As though some strange thing happened to you. I don't know where you're at in your life or what you may be going through, but we all going to go through some things. We're going to have some troubles in this life. And so Peter's speaking to Christians here. And he's saying to these Christians, and we should all be listening to him in our lives as well. I know that life can send us trauma, life can send us tragedy, life can send us difficult decisions on difficult circumstances, life can send us uncertainty, life can send us some things that we're not ready for, things that we didn't know were coming that could seem overwhelming. But Peter is saying to the Christian, he's saying, think it not strange. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery pain. Fiery means something that's like burning or painful. Don't think it's strange when painful things, painful trials, and that word trial, test, some trials coming, trials dark on every hand. We may not understand why we're going through a trial, but understand this. He said, which is to. Notice what he said. The trial has a purpose. The pain that come with your situation is to, this is to Christians. This is not to the world. This is to those of us who are Christians. It's a purpose for it. It's to try to test you. Its purpose is to test you. It's going to try you. What is it trying? Your faith. Do you believe in God? Do you believe God will bring you through this test? Do you know God is allowing the pain? Can you accept it's not your will? The cup that we bear is according to the will, the desire, the decision of God. God let you go through what you're going through. God has allowed this test in your marriage, this pain in your body, this test result from the doctors, the death of your loved one was God's decision. It's His will. Will you pass the test? Can you drink the cup? That's what God is saying. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. Hebrews 11:6. The purpose of the pain you're going through is a divorce. You would not want to go through this. You don't want the pain. But there's a purpose. It is to test you. Test your belief in God. To the child whose daddy left you, whose mom is not there for you. You are Christian now. It's a test. It's a trial. It's a pain that God has allowed. Now, can you accept His will? As Christians, we don't see it strange when things come at us in life. We live a life expecting things to be tough. But we believe in a God that's bigger than the valley. Higher than the valley. We believe in a God that's bigger than the mountain. The hills. It's bigger than the pain. God is able. He's able. That's what we believe. We're just pilgrims. This world is not our home. We just are passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere. Somewhere beyond the blue. We don't live with our head in the sand. As if the dark cloud is not coming to our home. We live with expectation. That the dark cloud and the dark rooms that sometimes we will step into will seem so dark to us that there is no way out. But those of us who have faith know, even though it's dark in the room, the S-O-N, the sun is still shining. God is still there. He's still there, just like with a young Indian boy who wanted to be a warrior like his daddy. He wanted to grow up and be just like his daddy. And he said, his dad told him, son, you want to be a warrior? He said, yes, dad, I want to be just like you. He said, son, you got to go through an initiation. We got to try you. We got to test you. How bad you want it. I want to be like you, Dad. Yeah. He said, son, you got to go out in the woods tonight. And I want you to stay out there all night long. And the little boy thought, thinking, I got to go in the woods all night? He said, son, if you want to be a warrior like your daddy, you got to go in the woods in the dark. And so he looked at his mama and said, mama, I got to go. She said, you want to be like your daddy? You got to go. He said, okay. So mom and dad were standing on the porch. And the sun was going down near and dark. And the sun was walking to the woods. and look back, it's just a test. It's a trial. Am I going to make it through the dark? Through the night? Little boy got in the woods and sun went down and darkness came upon him. And he sit down by a tree. He started hearing the creatures of the night, the owls and the wolves howling. And the little boy was trembling, shaking, trying to make it through because he wanted to be like his father. He wanted to be like his father. And so as it neared toward the morning hours, still dark, he heard some rustling. A figure moving toward him. And he said, who's that? Nobody said anything. And he heard him getting closer. The figure was clawing the leg, and he'd get nervous. He said, who's that? And there's a voice came that he recognized. He says, me, son. He knew that voice. He said, Dad, is that you? He said, yes, me. How long you been here? He said, I've been here all night long watching over you. See, even though we're in the dark, yes, sir. Even though the trials are dark, God is still there. Amen. God is still there. Yeah. His will is that you trust that he's going to not leave you, nor will he forsake you. Yes, sir. God is still there. Amen. I hear that voice. When you know that voice, you hear that voice. And God said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Look at this in verse 13. He said, but rejoice
inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings.
Don't think it's strange, but rather he said rejoice. Because as ye are, notice he, partakers or in fellowship of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with
exceeding joy.
In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, 8 through 10. Now we're in fellowship. When we're going through something, he said, here's what you're doing. When you're going through trials and tribulation, you rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to what the Bible says, Philippians 3, 8.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Yeah, read.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
Now he said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And notice what he says.
And do count them but dung.
I do count that loss nothing, that I might win who?
Christ.
But be found in him, not having my own righteousness of the law, which is through faith of Christ.
The righteousness of God by faith.
Which is God by faith. There it is. That I may know him and the power
of his resurrection.
Watch this now. And the power of his resurrection and
the fellowship of his suffering.
As Christ suffered, so must we suffer. And being made conformable, we did that when we went down in baptism for the remission of sin. We died a suffering death, and we died. We buried with him a resurrection. But if by any means, he said, I might obtain the resurrection
of the dead.
Now, what he's saying here is that we're in fellowship with the suffering. Christ suffered, so must we. So must we. Don't think it's strange, but partakers of Christ's suffering, and that when his glory shall be revealed, you also. Jesus said, you know, the prophets suffered, the apostles suffered, and he said, now if they suffer, we're going to have to suffer. So we're going to have to suffer. But there's a purpose in James chapter 1 and verse number 2. Listen about it. He said, watch what James says. He says, James 1, 2. He says what?
My brethren. Count it all joy.
The same thing he said. Count it all joy.
When you fall into divers
of different types of temptations, trials. Nobody says,
knowing this, that the trying of your faith,
the trying of your what?
Faith.
See, the will of God is to test faith. God, brothers and sisters, what we're going through are tests of our belief, that we believe God is in control and not us. Therefore, he said, the trying of your faith worketh something.
Patience.
It worketh patience, and patience.
But let her patience have a
perfect
work.
Patience have her maturing, a perfect work. So when we're waiting on God, we're going through something, we're waiting on God to bring us through. Whose will is it for us to wait on him? God's will is that we wait on him.
Yeah.
We don't try to see, a lot of us want to fix our problems rather than trust God. And that's what this whole series of cups say, is that what, when you're going through whatever you're going through, you got to trust God to get you through it. Listen to verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, 1 Peter 4:14.
If ye be reproached,
happy are ye.
For the
if
name
you're
of
suffering
Christ,
this morning as a Christian, notice here, here's the point I want to make. The Spirit of glory
and
of God
rests
upon you. Now I want you to listen to this. He said you can be happy about the suffering. What? That don't even sound right. But he said, look, you remember Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. Now in this case, he says, Peter saying, look here. When you're going through trials, when you're going through difficulties, health issues, situations, family issues, deaths, bereavement, cancer, tore up homes, when you're going through these kind of things, he says, you can be happy. That's not like laughing happy. But there's an inner joy when you understand it. But he said, for the Spirit of God, check this out now, of glory and of God rested upon you. That rest means gives ease. Here's what you want. This is what you want to write down as a point to remember. When a person is a Christian and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, they have what we call the Comforter. The Comforter, if you, you know, I'm not big on trying to get into Greek, but this is an important point. That word in the Greek has a para in it. The Comforter, which we derive from that, a parachute, paramedics, paragraph, which is a pause in a subject. A parachute doesn't stop the jump, but it slows it down so that it has a soft landing.
Amen.
The paramedic don't fix the problem. They just slow it down till they can get you to the doctor. So what he's saying is that God will give you the comfort, but it's not to stop the trial. It's just to slow it down so you have comfort during the fall.
Amen.
Therefore, I can come unto you, all of you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you comfort. I will give you rest. I will give you Paracletus so that it don't hurt so bad. The problem is, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1, Solomon said it like this. He said, So I returned. Watch it now. The wisest man that ever lived tried to live the life of a fool, which is a life without God. And after returning from trying to live the fool's life, he come back in chapter 4. That's 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 4, he says, so I return.
And considered all the
apostles. And I start looking back at the people who lived the life of fools. And he says,
and behold, the tears of such.
They crying.
As were
oppressed. They crying. They have no rest. They have no comforter.
And they had no comfort.
They had no comforter. He said, look at them. They oppressed. They without God. They're oppressed, depressed, and suppressed.
Then he says,
they have no comforter. Then he says, on the side
of their oppressors, there was power.
Of the oppressor.
But they had no comforter.
The oppressor is Satan. And Satan will not give you comfort to get through your storm. Then you got to deal with it. So you're not ready. You can't have a happy life like that. Our joy coming from having the comforter in our life. And you get that when you're baptized. And then you must maintain that fellowship in order to keep that rest, a spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. Now, on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he's going for. Now, verse number 15, as I try to hasten to close, he said, but let none. Now, he said, now,
but let none of you suffer as a murderer.
Once you understand, as a Christian, you can have this comfort, but then Peter warns, he said, now, nobody, don't suffer like this now. Do not suffer as a murderer.
Or as a thief.
As a thief.
Or as an evildoer.
Evildoer.
Or as a busybody in other men's matters.
Yeah, ain't nobody, you know, sometimes, you know, it's consequences to mistakes. Yeah. And then, see, you can't get around consequences. Some of you are still suffering as a result of some wrongs you've done. See, there's some folks suffering because they murdering folk with their mob. You know, you hate your brother, you're a murderer. You know that. It ain't got the pull of killing. You just don't like him enough not to speak to him. You're a murderer. Thief taking something that doesn't belong. Then you got the evildoer. Evil acts, doing things that are wrong. You know, that's why a lot of guys are locked up and going through things. You may have a felony on your record. You can't get a job. That's a consequence of the evil you've done. But that doesn't mean it hadn't been forgiven. You got to live with it. Now, suffer as a Christian, and God will give you some relief. You can come out of that system. Yeah, you may have been locked up. Yeah, you may have paid your dues. But you got to deal with what comes with it. Amen. Now suffer as a Christian. And then go and start giving God glory. That's what you do. And then he said, not as a busybody in other men's matters. This is something important for us. I believe that many Christians doing this very thing. Suffering as a busybody. Talking about folk behind their back. In people's business. Talking to other folk about other folk. And they tell you about other folk who talk about other folk. And all the other folk talking about everybody, other folk. Everybody talking about everybody. And nobody thinking about somebody who don't care about nobody. I don't know how all that works, but some kind of way it does. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think we can combat this thing, though. Yeah, I don't want to suffer with you. Don't bring me your bone. You want to talk about somebody. Talk to them about it. That's what you owe them now. You owe the soul. You owe the soul. Your concern. Your ought. Your issue. Don't take it to somebody else. And make them partake in your evilness. You're a backbiter and a traitor. Amen. Tail-bearing and busybody. All up in folk Kool-Aid. And business. And folks suffering because other folk. Talking about them and all up in their business. Stay in your business so you got enough of your own to stay out of mine. Amen. You got, if we all just work on our own business, we ain't got no business in nobody else's business. And right. Yeah, that's good. I can spend some time there, but that's all right. It's a cup. Sometimes part of the cup, you're going to have folk like that in your life. You got to just correct them in love. You correct them in love. Say, hey, bro, hold on. Have you talked to Sister So-and-so, Brother So-and-so? No. So help me not to be a partaker in what you're getting ready to do. See, because I could go along with you. And say, oh, you know, yeah. And then I got this view of that person. But let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's send them back to somebody else. I'm going to be real good at that myself. I'm going to be real good at correcting. Yeah, have you talked to this brother? No, I ain't talking to Brother Stroud. Then why are you talking to me? Yeah, because your issue ain't with me. Like one lady came in my office back in Arkansas, and she was just 40 minutes to an hour. She started telling me all the problem with her husband and her children and her sisters, and I listened. I gave her a good ear. In the end, I said, "So, I one question. She said, what's that, brother? I said, what's your problem? Because all you brought to my office was everybody else's problems. If you stop worrying about everybody else, then you can deal with your own. But your issue ain't you. Your issue is what everybody else is doing. And if you just get out of their business, you'll be all right. I try to stay out of my children's business as much as I can and let them live their own life. They got a life they got to live. Now, I'll provide advice, but I don't want to get all up in their business, running up there trying to find out what they're doing. They're going to have to answer to God. Amen. I ain't gonna run up no church members' house trying to find out how. You ain't gotta hide from me. Oh, don't. You turn your beard up when Brother Brooks walks. Why are you turning your beard? Oh, Brother Brooks, I'm sorry. Say sorry to God. Don't say so. You turn it up in his face. Amen. Yeah. But anyway, let's get back to the lesson. That got good to me. He said, don't suffer like that, y'all. So we're gonna get past that, right? Why not evil? Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayers, but he turns his face against them that do evil. See, you don't have God's face turned against you when you start participating in evil stuff. Evil stuff. I had a lot of recent conversations about life change and life differences. Got time to be hating on folk and not liking folk and not speaking. And man, families torn apart. One sister can't talk to another sister. One brother can't talk to another brother. One child can't talk to your mom and daddy. That's a shame to live like that. Life too short. You can't go back and say you're sorry once they did. Live like it. The last day in your family. I'm thankful to say I don't have a family like that. Live like that. We have a family. You can love them. Forgiveness is in order. Doesn't matter what your mama did. Forgiveness is in order. Amen, somebody. Amen. Talking about I want to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven like that. Yeah. You can't go to heaven as an evildoer. You got to go as a Christian. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Said, we're going to suffer. Paul said, Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian,
let him not be ashamed,
but let him glorify God on this behalf. There's no shame in suffering. I'm a Christian. Why are you putting up with that, Brother Brooke? Why are you taking it because I'm a Christian? Why are you letting them talk about you like that? Because I'm a Christian. Why are you letting them run your name down? Because I'm a Christian. Why are you letting them step on you like you're a rug, Brooks? Because I'm a Christian. And Christians suffer. Christians put on the clothes of humility. We are the rugs that folk walk on. But when they walk on us, they're walking on God's child. If God be for me, God will move who's out the way. I just got to lay there and take what comes with it. Why are you suffering this morning? You say, I'm suffering because I'm a Christian. Then you got the message of the cup. Christian's cup. We suffer. We take what comes with life because we are Christians. Amen. And there's no shame in our game. It was his will that we suffer. And as Jesus said, his will be done at closing. This is a very important passage for you to get as I close. Verse 17, listen to this. Mark this in your book.
For the time,
because this is taught wrong so many times. I've heard very, very, very long time preachers preach this wrong. Been at it. Now notice that the time will come.
The judgment.
Let's read that right. The time is will come. Come.
It's come. It's come.
That's present.
Yes.
So judgment ain't came yet, right? That's future. Watch now. Peter's talking to Christians who they were hanging up and burning like stakes. Nero. And he said, the time is presently upon them. The judgment, this ain't the judgment before God, must begin
at the house of God.
The house is the church of Christ. And the suffering started with Jesus. When he died and suffered on the cross, he told them that suffering would happen in Jerusalem before repentance and remission of sins could be preached in his name. The church was started in Jerusalem based on a suffering Christ. The time is come. The judgment he's speaking of is called the judgment of suffering. And we're in that time as well. The judgment of suffering had began with the church of Christ. And he said, if it first began at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 7-8, to you who will trouble the rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. That's what he said. So who is the problem here for those who don't obey God? In verse number 18, he said, but if the righteous
scarcely unlikely
to be saved from suffering, where in the world is the ungodly
and the sinner appear?
And the sinner who don't have God, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to do what Robin Williams did. Many of them can't deal with life. They'll take their life to ease the pain. The Christians take the suffering and got the comforter for their relief. If his suffering began with Christians, he said, what about the ungodly man? He said, well, who are these? He says, who are these? Now, notice what he says, three categories. Get this. The ungodly are those Christians, I'm going to say those Christians, who left God. I ain't putting myself in that group. I ain't going to say us Christians. I'm saying those Christians, and some of you may be on the pew today, you have stopped worshiping. You don't come half the time. You don't give right. You ain't in communion. You only here for what you can get from God, and you ain't here to give him nothing. That's an ungodly person. They had God and left him. That's the person who need to repent and come back to the church. That's those of you who left, ain't been here in a long time. You getting ready to suffer without God. He said, what you going to do? Then he said, the sinner, this brother never been baptized, never was a member of the Lord's church. What you going to do? I tell you what you should do. Be washed in the blood this morning.
Yeah.
So you can get the comforter in your life and then suffer as a Christian. That's what you should do. That's what you should do. Do we have water? Yes. Will we baptize you this morning? Yes. Will we wait 2 weeks till we get more candidates? No. Because baptism saves. 1 Peter 3:21. You got to be baptized to be saved. In other words, you cannot be a Christian until you're born of the water and of the Spirit. So you got those three categories, the sinner and ungodly. Then you got the last one, which is the righteous. The right, who is that? That's the person who's in right standing with God. Those who, you're a servant to whomever you obey. Servant of sin or servant of the righteousness. If you serve God, then you're a righteous person. If you're serving the devil, you're not a righteous person. It's just that simple. You serve whomever you choose to serve. If you choose to walk out without getting baptized, you choose the devil. You choose Satan. That's your choice. That's free will. That's why we're talking about within the will of God. Will of God is not that you suffer without him. The will of God is that he said, I'm not willing. God is not slack. Because 2 Peter 3:9, he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but it's long suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but it all come to what? Repentance. What do you need to do? Understand this, that this, you don't want to suffer no other way than as a Christian. That's what. What are you saying, Brother Brooke? The Christian's cup. The Christian's cup. You're well informed that the Christian cup is a cup of suffering. And we're in good company. For Jesus suffered when he had obeyed the will of God. And Peter said in the last verse, here in 1 Peter chapter 4.
Wherefore let them that suffer.
He said, let them that suffer.
According to the will of God.
Here it comes.
Commit the.
Here's how you suffer. According to the will of God. Of God. Watch what? Watch what he says.
Commit the keeping of their souls to him. Why? In well doing.
Why? The reason I'm suffering as a Christian is because I'm committing my soul to God and his will. Will you drink the Christian's cup? I will, Brother Brooke. I will. For I realized that over 2,000 years ago, my Savior, it was on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, it was at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my soul rolled away. It was a suffering Savior, led as a sheep to the slaughter and before his shearers dumb. He opened not his mouth. And they hung him on that cross. With pain in his hands and feet and his brutally beaten body, a bloody Savior we had. But that blood has saving power. They took him down off the cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb. But I'm so glad early on a Sunday morning, up from the grave he rose with power. He says, go into the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Commit your soul to the creator, creature. And to do that, the creature must believe. The creature must hear the gospel, Acts 15:7. The creature must believe it all over her ears or her heart. The creature must repent. Change your mind. Say, Brother Brooks, I want to suffer as a Christian. Then come down here today. We're going to give you, ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You must say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you listen out there, go to your church and cry there, ask you this question. Answer it with the affirmative that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they'll baptize you for the remission of your sin. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. Then the Lord will add you to the body of Christ. And that body of Christ is a body of suffering.
Yeah.
And then you come out there and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh Lord, I'm a Christian. And I'm a suffer. I'm a suffer as a Christian. Amen, somebody. If any man suffer, suffer as a Christian. And if you want to do that this morning, maybe you have been in an ungodly state where you left the Lord. Come home. Come home because you need rest. You need your comforter back. God will get you through. Come on home. Those who need prayer, the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. If you want to come, you come. Understand this. All your trials are a test of your faith. and you leave today saying, I'm not going to suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or a busybody. But if I'm going to suffer, if I'm going to drink this cup, I'm going to drink it. How are we going to drink it, y'all? As a Christian. And you want that, why don't you come? As together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.
On my trial, on my
drink the cup this morning, somebody be Christian. Drink the cup this morning.
I can
come to God, be born again of the water and of the Spirit.